This is WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guest this morning is City Manager Ryan Cotton. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, chickens can run in Holland in a kind of small space, probably, but...
That's right. Well, it actually would be 21 days from the ordinance passage, which was last night. A person can have a pet chicken, a household can, without much to do. However, if someone wants multiple chickens, there is a permit required, and that permit is available through the Community Neighborhood Services Department and will be available in 21 days. And there's some limitations as to they need to be in a certain enclosure, and that enclosure can't be too close to the side yard line, and it also they need to be supervised if they're outside of the enclosure. So there's a number of requirements, and we encourage people to go to our website, look at the calendar, click on last night's council meeting, and they can see the ordinance. There were some amendments. There were friendly amendments, so that it's changed just a bit, but the gist of it is there.
Mm-hmm. No roosters.
Correct. No roosters.
Because they wake everybody up in the morning.
Exactly. We don't want to become Key West, Florida, so absolutely not.
Well, that'll be kind of nice. I wonder how many chickens are waiting at the city gates to come in.
We will find out. It is something that could supplement someone's ability to feed their family.
Right.
There's some benefits associated with what they can do. However, we're concerned that it be balanced and not become a nuisance for one's neighbors.
Right.
People need to be courteous and follow the ordinance.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. Okay. 395-1450, if you have a question for the city manager this morning, our line is open about chickens or anything else for that matter. And you worked on another ordinance as well, I believe, right?
Correct. We have a decreasing problem with graffiti, but nevertheless, sometimes graffiti ends up on public property. We have a system for that, no problem. Sometimes it ends up on private property. In that case, we needed to have a plan whereby there is better communication between the private property owner and the city pertaining to this graffiti. Sometimes it's a owner who's not present in the city. Maybe they live at a distance or own from a distance. So anyway, now we have a system of communication and an expectation that it be removed within 5 days. And in that respect, we can keep all neighborhoods feeling as clean and vital as possible. I want to say, Duke, that some folks have thought, well, gee, that's a penalty on me. You know, why? I already got tagged. Why should I have another penalty of having to fix it? Well, it really isn't any different than if your window got accidentally broken or there was some other problem with your home. It's a fact of home ownership. So it's just a responsibility that people will need to pay attention to. And if they cannot, don't have the wherewithal for one reason or another, the city will do it now with the fact that this ordinance has been approved. So we have the rights to go in and address it, even on an emergency basis, should there be something that is very offensive nature that's noted in our ordinance. So we think that's an advancement and look forward to implementing that on the rare occasions when we actually will need to. But it was a loophole. We didn't have any way of addressing it. Now we do.
Well, usually taking care of the graffiti entails repainting.
Correct.
And we've had just passed through about 3 months when painting would be almost impossible.
You know, I think Sue Harder has a way. Sue is the person responsible for getting a lot of good things done in the city, especially graffiti. I think there's a removal manner also.
All right,
depending
really?
Upon whether it's a brick or plastic or wood, there's different materials used.
Yeah.
So it may not necessarily be painting. It may be a removal. And anyone who has a problem who wants to get suggestions on what product to use, call us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The city will help in any way they possibly can, right?
We certainly will. There's a joint benefit here. It's a benefit to the private owner. It's a benefit to the neighbors. It's a benefit to the general community. So we will cooperate any way we can to try to make this removal happen. However, should that all those efforts fail, then after 5 days, the city has the right to handle it directly.
Yeah.
And then there would be a fee charged back to the property owner That fee would equal the amount of time we have in it, plus an administrative fee of $50.
Mm-hmm. And that fee would go on your taxes if you didn't pay it?
I believe it will become a lien. There's another process for that.
Mm-hmm.
Due notice, all the good things that we need in democracy. Yet, we do have a solution now, so I'm glad that this ordinance was reviewed by the City Council and then adopted.
Any other action you took last night?
Well, we changed our meeting dates around a little bit, so just want people to know that next week it's spring break most places, and there will be no meeting on Wednesday night. The following Wednesday will be our first budget study session. And we really take these budget meetings seriously. We got good attendance at the council coffee. We got some feedback for the council retreat. And now this is where all the numbers are on the table, and people can react to those. So if anyone's listening who thinks our city services need to be adjusted in one way or another, upward or downward, sideways or backwards, this is the time to get hold of a council member, get hold of me, let us know what they're thinking. The same thing goes for any major repairs or any major capital improvements, things that they need to and want to see done. I will say this year's theme is one of capital reinvestment. Financially, we're back in a position to make some significant investments in our streets, our street reconstructions. There's a fire station, at least one that needs major repair. We're reviewing the other. Civic Center, we want to understand all the possibilities there and act on one of them. And we'll be doing some feasibility analysis of how to address Bowles Pool, maybe including some splash pads, maybe changing it in other ways. So this is the year to talk about making major advancements on a capital side for the city. And we look forward to people's thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess the VPW one will be the biggest one, won't it?
That is a big one. Last night, the VPW recommended, the City Council approved a $37 million piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually two pieces. They're referred to as jet engines, but they're the turbines that will make the 114 megawatts rated power from natural gas. So those are now on order, and the next action will be the construction contract, which will be even more than $37 million. That'll be some months away, but that project is well underway.
Yeah.
Very grateful for the leadership that the BBW board has exercised and the general manager.
Do those have to be built to our specifications, or is this it's in the catalog?
yeah, it's to our specifications. Of course, Siemens is the manufacturer. They do this around the world. Yet Dan Nally, Dave Koster, Tim Hemingway, Paul Elzinga, folks who really are aware and knowledgeable about this on the Board of Public Works, have specified certain outcomes that need to be achieved with these two turbines. It's a combined cycle natural gas plant, so that is addressed by the turbines, as well as a certain specifications they are expecting in terms of power output and also how the residual waste heat is handled. So those are all factors that went into their decision to purchase from Siemens. It is lower cost than some of the competitors, and also the service is on site, as opposed to one of the competitors. You had to create these things and send them back to where they came from and be out of service for multiple months at a time.
Yeah.
That's not the case here. It's on-site repair and overhaul. So we think that the job has been done very well, and the City Council approved it with gratitude.
This will take a factory representative kind of break the help in.
I'm confident there will be quite a bit of on-site training.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know the specifics on that yet. This is not like flicking a switch.
Right.
There will be an operating staff. It'll be a lower number than at the coal-burning power plant. It's more efficient to operate, yet there will be a crew of a dozen plus.
Okay, I think we got a call here. Good morning. You're online with the city manager.
Good morning. Concerning the new gas plant, since we've upsized the output capable for that. Is it during the early years, before we need all that power, are they going to be able to sell that back to other people at a profit, the extra capacity?
I think great minds think alike. I think that is exactly the plan through long-term power agreements, the details of which are not yet known and need to be figured out, or it can be operated less long per day. So there's a variety of options the Board of Public Works will have.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. All right. Yeah. Many years ago, when I was a young child, we lived in a place where we had city power, and that was just outside of town,
mm-hmm.
outside of the city limits.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I've always found, and I have city power now, and I've always found them to be very efficient and quick to be there if there's a problem.
It's all in the data as well. 20% less cost per customer and higher reliability. The timeout is measured in hours versus days, and other power companies, oftentimes, the time offline is measured in days.
Right.
So it's the data speaks volumes for why our particular municipal power plant operates in a way that is much more to the public's advantage than any other alternative. And that's pretty much true for any municipal power plant. Despite the problems Lansing had over Christmas holidays, they have a stellar record.
Mm-hmm. Despite all the Christmas lights.
Correct. Yeah. By LEDs.
Yeah. We're here with the city manager this morning. If you have a question you'd like to ask him, feel free to call us. 395-1450 is the number. We'll take
Loaner cars are always free in Holland, in Hudsonville, in Wayland, and on Facebook. Facebook.com/AutoBodyRepair.
We're here with Ryan Cotton, the city manager. And if you have a question for him, you may call us at 395-1450. Our line is open, and we'd be happy to entertain your call this morning. It's such a, well, I won't say a beautiful morning out there, but in fact, you might want to get your lights on if you don't have them on.
Yeah, it beats a few of those days in January and February, so no complaints here.
Yeah, right.
Hey, and snow is pretty much vanishing, and I want people to know that brush collection is right around the corner. People can put their brush out there right now.
Okay, got a call. Good morning. You're online with the city manager.
Good morning. I have a question. When the city paving projects will be posted?
Pardon?
When will the city paving projects be posted?
There's a list that it's in creation right now, and I think you can probably get it if you call our department, but in our budget document that will be published right around, a week from today, you'll be able to find that online, and we'll have all of the projects listed. They'll speak more to the reconstruction and major repairs. Sometimes the paving varies a little bit until we bid it out, and we will be bidding that out probably in May.
Mostly concerned about Graskop Road.
Graskop Road, that is a very interesting road. It gets low volume, but it needs major repair. What that means is it's a challenge for us. We've, of course, been filling the potholes regularly. We don't have the federal funding that we need to do the major reconstruction needed there because it doesn't have the volume of traffic that justifies the federal funding. So we'll give that some major, restoration efforts here between now and next year. It will not be reconstruction. It won't be a total resurface because the subsurface doesn't support it. But it will be something that makes it much more drivable than it is now. If you take a look at State Street, you can see where we did some of that work there. This would actually be an expansion of that kind of work. State and College, we did some of that work last fall. So thank you for your patience on Graskop. We know we got a challenge, and we have a plan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, we'll be working on Central Avenue, I believe. Is that right? This year?
We hope to, this fiscal year, get started. That means next summer because it's a massive project, over $3 million, and there's no federal funding for that either. Same thing. It doesn't have the traffic volume.
Mm.
So we need to fund it all locally, and that takes a little bit of extra planning and saving up. But it will be in our next fiscal year budget.
Good morning. You're online with the city manager.
Good morning, Duke and Mr. Cotton. Two questions. Is there any plans on doing anything with Hope Avenue this year? And the second one is, has the city extended the yard waste or yard pickup to the curbs because of the snow? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Yes, the yard waste has been extended by a week, so through April 12th now. Pickup will begin, I believe, is on April 14th. So that's the very latest we can extend it and still provide all the services needed for the Tulip Time event, which is right around the corner. So thanks for that question, and people have an extra week. Second, Hope Avenue is second on the list behind Central, so that will not be this year. Will it be fiscal year 16 or 17? I need to double-check, and that's one of my meetings this afternoon. Hope Avenue is on our radar screen, and it's almost front and center, and I accept your thought as meaning it should be as front and center as possible. So I'll carry that forward.
Thank you. How about Lincoln Avenue? Is that going to have some redo this year?
The section south of 24th Street that had the late resurfacing? Yes, it's scheduled for remilling and resurfacing, given that some of the asphalt quality late in the season was not as it should have been. This is at no cost to the taxpayer.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate Brian White, our city engineer, who manages these projects, and that has been his determination, and that's what the contractor will do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they're on pothole patrol?
Yes. We sometimes wonder whether we need three hot boxes, they're called, where we heat up the cold patch to make it stick better before the asphalt plant opens up. We have two right now, so we have two crews fully engaged. Sometimes I wonder about three. So that's, I do believe that we're ahead of last year at this time. I'll let the listener be the final judge of that. But if people do have a pothole that they don't see getting attention, then we definitely want you to report it. So here's a number. Get a pencil. It's at our transportation building. Tammy Glover is there, and she knows what to do with these phone calls. So the number is 828-2430. 828-2430. And we very much appreciate Tammy and her crew and Brian and his efforts and Scott in everything they do to keep on top of these potholes.
Okay. 395-1450. You mentioned getting into budget meetings. A lot of the budget. What's the greatest single thing on the budget usually?
Wow. I haven't had that question.
The big one.
Yeah. Well, we are a service agency. A lot of our services are driven by labor. So it's 65% roughly of the cost goes to payroll to keep people employed and handling the police calls and the fire calls, emergency medical calls, and of course what we just talked about, potholes and people like me.
Right.
So that's the single largest item. We're grateful that the health insurance costs are stabilizing a little bit. At least we've experienced that in the last year. We hope that stays the case. We are working to contain other costs, the pension costs, and also trying to get more reinvestment into the capital side of things, as I just spoke of earlier. So I would say one of the big expenses, and I'm not sure people realize, is streetlights. The actual lights that are on at the street corners, that is between $300,000 and
$400,000. Wow.
Just for the cost of electricity, and those lights are rented, actually, so there's a lease payment. So I'd like to look at that a little bit more as to what we could do a little differently.
The president and others are getting into the drive for, well, let's take this call here before we take that. Good morning. You're online with the city manager.
Yes. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
What arrangements have been made for snowmelt?
For snowmelt, that's pretty well planned, isn't
it? Since the plant is going to be out in the boondocks, how are you going to get snowmelt into downtown Holland?
Thank you for that question. You are right that there's a transmission main, or several that need to be addressed so that the waste heat water gets where we need it for snowmelt. So that'll involve some work on 9th Street and some on Central. Central is already planned, as I mentioned. 9th Street is also planned. We have grants for reconstruction of 9th Street. So the transmission mains will be addressed in that way. The downtown Principal Shopping District, the Downtown Development Authority, are talking about where snowmelt should be extended in the downtown and to institutions that may or may not wish to avail themselves of it, Hope College, other places nearby. So that's under review, and we'll figure out the actual where all the capillaries go, if you will, over the long haul. There's five times more waste heat from this plant, so that will provide for more opportunities for snowmelt. There's an expense whenever it's extended, and that expense needs to be borne by the users. So that's part of what needs to be worked out as well. We have a couple of years to figure out all those details. But you're right, there will be two transmission mains that need to be installed under the streets.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I hope it works.
Yeah.
I am not in favor of closing the old power plant. I think that's a lot of nonsense. But you've got people on the council and in the city. They want to tear that down and build a water park down there, which is about as ludicrous can be. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. I just want to clarify that there's no plans for any water park where the old power plant is. Someday, along the water, there may be some public access, meaning walkways, like at Collin Park. But there's really no specific plans for that either. So this is a lot of reasons why the plan is moving, and that's really wasn't the main reason.
Well, it'll be a few years before that plant comes down anyhow, if it does.
Right, 2007. The operators of the plant, as I said, it will be dramatically different. There's already about a $3 million savings in payroll, given the lower number of operators that are expected. So.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with the city manager.
Yeah, Duke, I'd just like to comment on that last caller. I think he's absolutely right. I think they're spending a lot of extra money on this thing, $37 million for just this jet thing or whatever. You know how much money they've got to make up for that in revenue? That's a lot of money. It's going to put a lot of people in Kentucky and stuff in the coal mines out of a job, which they're struggling now in the United States. And all of a sudden you're going to have this gas power plant. Everybody thinks this gas is all honky-dory until the thing doesn't work. And then what are you going to do? Go kissing the coal miners' rear ends or what? My comment for the day. Thanks.
Thank you. You have a comment on that?
Well, I appreciate the caller's colorful way of stating the matter. I will say that there's a multi 50, 40 year report that was done. It's called a Sustainable Return on Investment Report that compared all the alternatives by the Board of Public Works before they made this decision. And what we're getting is not only environmental, but the primary reason is it's the most cost effective approach to municipal power for the next half century or more.
Okay. The president and others are talking about increasing the minimum wage to $10.10. Would that affect our summer program as far as the young people are concerned?
It would. That would change the minimum wage. I think it's $7.85 something, just a little bit above now. And if someone comes back and returns, there's a slight increase. So that would be adjusted, and that would just be the cost of doing business.
Yeah. But
of course, our seasonal laborers get a lot done, and it's pretty cost-effective use of help. So we would adjust.
I think it's a big jump in increase, but maybe they'll mellow that out a little bit in Congress.
Yeah, percentage-wise, it is a big jump. You know, you look at the cost to live and rent a place, and I think I've seen the numbers. I think is it between $10 and $15 an hour to make ends meet? I'm not going to get into the politics of it.
Right.
I will say that I do see people who are challenged by the economics and have a hard time staying in their homes, whether it's rented or otherwise. So I don't know the answer, Duke. I think education's the answer.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
But in the meantime, we'll let those people figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. And when will the budget hearings be starting that people can come and listen to you?
5:30, 2 weeks from last night. So it'll be 5:30 April 16th in City Hall. And we'd love to have folks come, and Mayor Dykstra will be presiding, and he has a call to the audience where people can have something to say. So we will have the budget online on our website probably as of Monday, April 14th, and whether it's the streets that people are asking about or they want to see, you know, how much is being spent on X, Y, or Z, it's all there. I will caution people, it's about 500 pages. We do have a table of contents that they can navigate and hopefully find what they're looking for easy. If not, just call our office, and that's what we're there for.
Well, if anybody has something they want to add or detract from the budget, they can appear at that time. And
absolutely. And, Duke, before we run out of time, I wanted to invite everyone, April 19th, Saturday morning, to Run of the Mill. The mill will be turning in, the windmill.
Oh, really?
It's free admission all day on Windmill Island Gardens. And we hope people can come and join us and have a nice time celebrating this outcome.
That's very good.
If they want to contribute, they can still do that, too.
Really? Okay. Yep. All right. Just so we get squared away on it. Thank you very much for being here.